It's Thursday, February 2nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, show number 739, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Haven't I got a great show lined up for you? Got a lot to share. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central Podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go-fly.
Microphone.
We're go-fly.
Video feed.
Go!
Web browser.
Go!
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go-fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to give you a warm welcome to the show. Got a lot to cover tonight. And of course, I want to encourage all of you that are just checking us out for the very first time to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Get signed up for the newsletter so that you don't miss a single episode. That's really kind of a great way to stay abreast of what's happening here. You can subscribe to the show. It's real easy to do. There's a basically RSS, iTunes, Zune Marketplace on the second column, so definitely check that out. Forgot to press a few buttons here this evening, so kind of doing that in process. But again, if you're checking us out for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Give a warm welcome to all of the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Of course, you all can check us out either on the Roku Box, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. What else did I miss? Boxy, along with, of course, here at the website as well. If you have comments about today's show, at Geek News on Twitter is the place to go. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to email me, of course. And our action hotline is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for your ranting, for your rants and raves. You can do that at 619-342-7365. Of course, I want to thank all of you for hanging out and look forward here to sharing a lot of tech stuff tonight. We got a lot in the stack for you, and it's been kind of a interesting week from a stay busy standpoint. My wife was in a little, well, I promised not to say, so I guess I better stop and not go any further. She's okay. She's doing good. But we're just having an interesting week, but the family is doing fine. Of course, you can follow the show on Facebook, on Twitter, at Google Plus as well. And we want to thank GoDaddy.com for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. And I want to encourage you, of course, to get over to GoDaddy.com and check out all the great deals that they have available. Of course, we've got our 25% off on hosting accounts that are going on right now. And really, that is a great way to save some money on their fourth generation hosting account. Basically, you get cloud hosting for regular standard web hosting prices, and use that CES2 code to get 25% off. Also, because it's Super Bowl Sunday weekend, I have a $7.99.co domain available for you. This $7.99 code works for .coms as well. All you got to use, the code is COFEB3, COFEB3. I'll have that in the show notes tonight. And that's good all this month. This is a great price for a .co domain. Of course, and we also have one additional hosting offer as well, where you will get deluxe hosting for the price of economy, a 12-month plan, by using the code HOSTFEB3, HOSTFEB3. I'll have those all up for you to check out, and want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. Of course, check all our GoDaddy codes out at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. It's been a interesting week in that we've been putting up more videos. The writers at Geek News Central have been busy. And matter of fact, I'm basically kind of caught up, and they're now trying to stay a little bit ahead of me. which is becoming a challenge. But I have just probably another 3 or 4 hours worth of video editing to do, and all of our CES coverage will have at least been actually completely edited, compressed, and uploaded to our server, and being ready to actually be posted. So I'm hoping to have all this stuff out and done in the next week or so. That's the goal. But I would like to ask for the audience, for those of you who have been hanging out here with me and been a longtime listener of the show, I'd like to hear some feedback from you. I'm trying to get some feedback on the show, first of all, what's been happening with the show, where do you feel we're at with it, and also feedback on our CES content, what you liked, what you didn't like, what format was good, what was bad. Just from an audience perspective, definitely drop me a line. I would definitely appreciate it. Also on the website over at geeknewscentral.com, I had gotten a number of emails asking me to put online the entire pack out, at least the important stuff in the pack out of the studio and what we had taken to Vegas last month. And I've got about 30 line items there of all the gear and then some pictures for you. I'm sure you saw some of this over on the Flickr feed. If you haven't checked it out, I'll have a link up in the show notes for you to go over and look at all the images on the Flickr feed. Don't forget, there's a new edition of Robot Underpants and the Gadget Professors online as well. Get subscribed to those shows. Those are two great shows here at GNC, along with, of course, our Saturday Morning Tech Show, which will be coming on Saturday morning. We'll have that for you, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. We'll have an episode for you. And I actually got to get with Jeffrey Powers. I think we're going to have a tech podcast roundtable this weekend as well. So we got to get that knocked out. So I hope one of those for you as well. So lots happening here at the show. And thanks for staying subscribed and being a part of the family. One thing that I was talking with a buddy of mine about 2 or 3 days ago, and he was, you know, kind of acting kind of mopey. And I'm like, dude, what's wrong? He says, man, he says, I lost a hard drive on one of my business machines. And we got to talking a little bit about it. And he had not implemented any type of basically in the cloud backup plan. He basically backed up everything locally, and he thought he was good. And when he went to recover the backup, he couldn't recover it. So he lost a huge amount of data. And so, you know, we talked about some options, and he is basically sending the hard drive off to a commercial place that will be trying to extract the data off it. Now, hopefully he has good luck with this, and hopefully that data is recoverable. The hard drive sounds to me like the little armature arms out, because when you take the hard drive in movie, you can hear the armature arm inside there flopping around. But he thinks it's going to cost between $800 and $1,200 to get all the data off, because it's got a huge amount of data on it. And I think he's probably looking at more money. So, you know, I said, listen, you know, you should have been using Mosey for Business. And, you know, he says, you know, I was kind of hearing you talk about it, and I should have paid attention. He rolled the dice and I lost. So with hard drives crashing all the time, it's, you know, here's something pretty close to home to me. This guy lost a hard drive full of business material, not all of it on other machines. There was proposals, there was business plans, there was scanned tax data, a lot of stuff. And he's always getting, I got all this stuff I got to send the accountant. Now I can't send it. So anyway, big issue and a major pain for him right now on getting his stuff back online. So I followed up with him today and asked him how things going. And he said, I'm still waiting on that hard drive. But he says, I went ahead and called Mosey and got the other machines in my office online. He's, I can't believe how simple it was. I was pretty stupid for not doing this. And he was pretty shocked. He was, the price was pretty reasonable. And, you know, this is an important company. They're doing important things and being able to save data. And I wish him the best of luck in using Mosey Pro for Business. And I want you guys to consider it as well. And again, it works on both PCs and Macs. I've got a PC here, 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 a Mac here, one down underneath that are all basically backed up right now with Mosey Pro. So give our friends at Mosey a call. They've been doing this a long time and run the most secure and most trusted online backup service. Right now, you can save 15% by using the promo code PODCAST15. And you got all you got to do is call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776. Or visit moseypro.com. That's MOZYPRO.com. And good luck to Tony for getting his drive data recovered and information back. And I hate to see what that bill is going to be, because I've been there once. I'll never, knock on wood, 3, 4, 5 times here, I'll never be in that situation again. We've talked about that many times here on the show about my loss of pictures and stuff was pretty devastating. But we're able to get him back with a nice credit card authorization to a data recovery company. I got a few emails and some podcasters that were over on Mevio asking for help a couple of days ago. And basically, these are some content creators that have had their shows over there for a while. One guy had about 400 episodes hosted free on Mevio for a number of years. And Mevio basically as a way of basically trying to stay in business and keep moving the ball moving forward has locked out those shows or number. I don't know how many total. It doesn't sound to be like a huge number, but a number of shows that have, I don't have producer agreements with them. You know, I honestly really can't blame Mevio for trying to make money. Businesses have to stay in money, whether they're charging for hosting or whatever it may be. And content creators have really for a very long time essentially gotten a free ride on a number of websites. And I wrote this blog post over at Geek News Central basically, you know, saying, hey, you know, you're basically on a site where your data and your RSS feed and everything is really kind of hostage to the whims of the folks at Mevio. And so I wrote some ground rules for anyone that's considering starting a new show and or has an existing show. And my number one rule is always have your .com as your primary point of presence for your show. You guys can come to geeknewscentral.com. This is the primary place for this show. We've had some people scraping a number of shows over at Blueberry and Raw Voice and Tech Podcast recently that we're dealing with now. But at least when you have your own .com, you control all that media and you can to send people back to your site no matter where people watch or listen to the content. And you don't have to worry about that .com going away. And I always tell people also control your RSS feed. You know, that's one of the reasons we built PowerPress was so that you could have a very dynamic and rich RSS feed that would stand the test of time, that you control, you own. You don't have to worry about a third-party service managing it or holding up the publishing, whatever it may be, or deleting it and not making it available, because it's really the kind of lifeblood of a show like this. And, of course, I recommend people to always host their media at a professional podcast hosting company and not on their own website. It doesn't make good sense to put your own website up and then have the media is basically back in behind on the same server, because if your show starts out slow and you may be okay for a little while, but the second you get mentioned by the New York Times, you get a mention on Oprah, you get a mention on a big major site or a dig or slash dot effect, next thing you know, your server's crumpled because it's not designed to serve, you know, a big horde of media. And most importantly, never sign a contract, an exclusive contract with someone. That's one of the things that we've done at Raw Voice with Blueberry. No one is exclusive to us. We have the right to sell advertising into the shows, right on distribution. We have a lot of different things in our contract, but we also tell the content creator, hey, you can go out and find your own advertising. You can do that as well. But you know, even though we have a very tight relationship with our content creators, you know, we don't want to stifle their creativity. And when it comes to third-party sites, and this is just like Blueberry or Tech Podcast, is, you know, that's where you have your secondary point of presence. And you work together with groups of people to to obviously you want people to go visit techpodcast.com and check out all the different shows there, like I want you guys to do. But, you know, that way you still maintain your property on your own .com. And I always tell people, think ahead a couple of years and don't be cheap. Don't be cheap. So many times someone says, well, Todd, hosting is going to cost me $12 a month. Yeah, doing media is, you know, and that's cheap. Doing media and stuff is not necessarily inexpensive, but at the same time, you have to invest in your show. And I invested in this show when I started this show in 2004. I learned very quickly, you know, what true bandwidth costs. And then, you know, some of our competitors launched a business and they made unlimited bandwidth available. And, you know, that works okay if you have a bunch of small shows paying for content. But if you have one big show, then it gets all of a sudden it's a loss leader. And, you know, I'm not in business to run a service that is a loss leader. And, but I understand people are on a budget. But at the same point, if you're going to do this, you have to commit some dollars and not a lot of dollars to hosting your media. But anyway, never have your show to be on a primary point of presence, be on a third party site. I think that's just critical. And so, you know, I don't blame Mevio for doing what they did. I really don't. They're a business that's got to stay in business. They got employees to feed. And one of the things I get a lot of criticism for over at Raw Voice is we stop free support of some of our services for non-paying customers. You're not a customer. You're not paying. We produce this product. We make it available. We'll answer any questions that we can that don't take us more than a couple of minutes to write a response on. But if you want help, get your credit card out and pay us for consulting. And we do our job very well. But some people say we should be providing free. Well, free only works, you know, if you're a rich company and you have this, you know, this is a big part of your business plan. Free for us is not necessarily is something smart in how you keep employees fed and keep the lights on. So anyway, just wanted to share that with you. Some tips if you're going to be creating, it's not tech related whatsoever, but I thought it was a good time to kind of revisit that here on the show since we haven't really talked new media very much on a business standpoint. All right, let me go ahead here and kick into the content tonight. You know, my voice has been pretty good, but we'll see how long it lasts tonight. You can tell it's better, but it's still not 100%. Hey, the folks over at PC World have a good article talking about an event coming up on March 8th that could cause sites all over the world to basically become inoperative. The feds are pulling down a temporary network that they put up in place of seizing a botnet ring last year called DNS Changer. DNS Changer was basically a botnet that was designed to help infect machines and place Trojans on computers. But DNS Changer, that specific Trojan, and the Fed's official site to keep people's sites up and running is going to be shut down on March 8th. And they're saying a number of users could come to the computer that morning and all of a sudden it not be able to reach any internet sites. So we'll see what happens with this. But according to Krebs on Security, the FBI DNS Changer Working Group is still weighing its options and trying to figure out how bad the impact was, because apparently at least 250 of Fortune 500 companies and 27 out of 55 major government entities had at least one computer or router that was infected with DNS Changer in early 2012. I was not super familiar with this. I'm going to do some more research on it, but this is one thing you're going to want to Google DNS Changer to make sure that you don't have any machines in personally or in your business that has this basically this Trojan installed. All right, VeriSign is making an admission well over 1 year, 1 year plus, about some stuff that, what's going on here? It made me sweat there for a second. I thought Chrome had locked up. Apparently, the company behind the DNS servers that provide the foundation of the web and formerly the largest encryption certificate authority has revealed that it was repeatedly, and I'm saying repeatedly, hacked in 2010. Now, they disclosed this in a subline in an SEC filing, but apparently what happened was is some non-execs in the company knew about this and did not tell anyone up the line. They didn't inform upper management until sometime in 2011. Now, this is pretty crazy because they tried to sneak this information covertly into an SEC filing, but here we have one of the biggest root DNS servers and one of the biggest encryption certificate authority who was hacked and could call into question the X509, SSL certificates, you name it. So this is pretty bad stuff that the company, you know, if they got in and got access to materials they shouldn't have, it's not good. And they have not proactively, and they have not yet informed any customer of this breach. It took a PC World article to expose it today. And we'll see what happens. But this is horrible. And hopefully the company's held accountable and there'll be some sort of investigation. But, you know, when you have a root DNS server, the folks that hold that data hacked, you know, hackers get in there. That's the golden jewels, and could end up being a very bad thing. Over on the Washington Post, apparently NASA is very confident that Russian manned rockets are still good to go. And of course, we knew that Russia delayed the launch of a Soyuz capsule, and because it was leaking, and they're going to use a different capsule instead. You know, I begin to worry a little bit about our astronauts that are going to be ferried to the International Space Station by Russia. You know, if they've had just a string of accidents, setbacks, safety issues. Obviously, they've had a challenging year. But do you guys worry about it? And what, you know, God forbid, but what would be the public reaction if we lost a crew due to, you know, something going wrong with the Soyuz launch? You know, that's the last thing you want to happen. But I think if I was an astronaut, I'd be asking some very serious questions about what they've done to clean up their act. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes, but we'll keep our fingers crossed. But NASA, fully confident. I guess they really can't say anything else, right? Because we're out of the space business for, what, another 5 years or something? But maybe the private firms are going to get us back on track. We'll see. So you would think on Twitter that there wouldn't be a large number of takedown requests. But who leads takedown notices? Movie houses, Universal Music Group, audio recording companies like Sony, a variety of different film manufacturers, more audio stuff. Basically, they're taking down links to copyrighted material. So largely of the 5,000 or so requests that they're reporting here, most of them was to media files. So I guess Twitter has had a number of DMCA takedown notices, just like everyone else. Don't be linking to copyright materials on Twitter. Over on TechCrunch, there's a location app that's getting some rave reviews. And let me bring this up here. Oops, I could have taken that ad down off the live. Let's bring this back over here. And there we go. Okay, let's whip this up. This app is called Highlight. And what this basically does is when you're near a friend or someone you know, someone you're associated with on a service, it basically says, hey, this person's close to you. They're over at such and such store. Go say hi. So you can do impromptu meetings, discover friends. Kind of weird though, right? I don't really know if I want people knowing that I was in a specific store. That's just a little bit too on the creep zone for me. But over at TechCrunch, they like this app called Highlight. What do you think? Doesn't that just kind of creep you out? You're in a store and this thing's kind of tracking where you're at. And doesn't say exactly where you're at, but says nearby. And makes you wonder, doesn't it? So I guess you check in on Foursquare or something like that. You know, that obviously tells everyone exactly where you've been, but this kind of mashes this thing up. Well, Congress is moving on to a different topic here. Congress is eyeing competitive implications of Verizon's $4 billion deal to buy spectrum from cable companies. So if you think about it, we had the AT&T bill was up. The T-Mobile is now trying to get more spectrum. Verizon needs more spectrum, so they're buying stuff up. So regulators are a little bit worried that now that the mobile companies are starting to get in bed with the cable companies, that we could enter a period where for 4 or 5 years, there's going to be no additional spectrum available once they get this all bought up. And what it could do is it could stifle competition and innovation because there's no incentive. Because they got enough bandwidth to hold them by, there's no incentive to really be more competitive. So the FCC is being asked to pay attention to this specific buy off of spectrum and what they're going to do with this. You know, most cable companies have already deployed faster DOCSIS 3.0 technology, so I don't think we have much issue in our homes, but when we're out and about mobile, it's definitely an issue. We'll have to see how the wireless space works as well from a point-to-point standpoint for companies like Comcast and so forth. But there definitely is a bandwidth crunch. I don't know if they're going to be able to stop them from doing this purchase, but obviously the mobile providers are very, very worried about it. A fifth grader has accidentally concocted a new explosive molecule. I'm thinking to myself, how does a fifth grader do this? An awful smart fifth grader, obviously. 10-year-old Clara Lazen accidentally created a new energy storing molecule called tetranitrooxycarbon that could be used as an explosive. She's using one of those molecular modeling sets that we've all messed with in school. I didn't. And Clara forged a combination of nitrogen, oxygen, and carbon that stumped her fifth grade teacher. So, you know, basically she put one of these like erector set type things together. And I guess there's rules on how this works, but long story short, the teacher couldn't figure it out. So he, and this to me, I don't fully understand because I'm not a scientist. Maybe someone can help me out here. You know, so this 10-year-old, you know, is basically putting this thing together and her teacher says, this is, looks like something real. And she called a professor at a local college who basically looked at what she had done and said, yeah, this is a brand new molecule. Someone out there explain this process to me. How could this be possible? So this 10-year-old and her teacher are listed as co-authors on a research paper about the molecule. How does someone just like putting one of these, you know, the little balls with lines and interconnect them? How does someone create a new molecule? I just don't get that. Okay. Why don't we put one of those together? Give me a screwdriver here and we'll put a little round thing on it. And, you know, I'm not kidding. It's, you know, how does that happen? I don't understand it. It is software, but it says molecular modeling sets that we've all messed with in school. But they didn't have one of those when I was going to school. Not where I grew up, obviously. And at 10 years old, please. You know, what are you doing 10 years? You're still playing on the playground. You're not building molecular models of stuff. All right, so what are you going to do for the Super Bowl? I'm probably going to miss it. I'm probably not even going to watch, but my son wants to watch, so we'll probably put the game on. It'll be the first football game besides the 3 minutes of the Pro Bowl I've watched all year. Who's playing again? Oh, the New York, what are they called? Anyway, just kidding. And the New Orleans, what are they called? So let's talk just a little bit about what you got to have for your Super Bowl party. Obviously, a big screen TV. And if you're in the market for a big screen TV, this is a time that they've got great sales going on right now. You need a thing to definitely make some drinks. You got to have that toaster oven or a microwave to warm up the snacks. You got to have a sling box so you can play replays of those plays that the television's not playing replays on. Got to have a cooler full of liquid nourishment. So the folks over at Wired have a full list of 8 essential gadgets for hosting a killer Super Bowl party. And I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. For me, it's, I don't know, what is my ultimate, I guess, salsa and tortillas. That's one of the things I have to have for a Super Bowl party, which we're not having. But, you know, it's all weekend. Wait, what are you going to do for a Super Bowl? I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just like, I'm probably working. And this probably will be it. Probably look at the game, work, look at the game, work. Moving into a science topic. Russians have drilled nearly 14 million old Antarctic lake. Haven't we talked about this many times? But it appears after 20 years of drilling, the Russians who thought they would get through the ice last year are very, very close, and they feel that they're going to be able to finish drilling through this year to look at Lake Vostok. Of course, Lake Vostok has been trapped beneath the Arctic for the last 14 million years. You know, who knows? They're going to open that thing up, and some parasite's going to get airborne, and we're going to have a situation on our hands. Who knows? But they are going to be sending some robots into the lake, some swimming robots in 2012 and also this year, or 2013. But they've got to collect water samples and submit some stuff to the Antarctic Treaties Consultative Meeting in order to get approval to do that. But anyway, what do you think they're going to find in a lake in Antarctica that has not been accessible for 14 million years? Makes you go, doesn't it? Probably a few bugs in there that we haven't had exposure to in a long, long time. All right, a NASA probe has captured the first video of the moon's far side. Now, okay, we've always wondered what the moon looked like on the backside because, you know, you can't see it. We can't see it from here. But one of the stills that they have makes me go, that looks like an airplane parked in that crater. Or a spacecraft, you know, all kinds of interesting things in these craters. And I looked at this one image to see if I can blow this up for those of you that are, yeah, right here. Just look at this down in the middle. There's an almost perfectly, what's that down in the bottom portion of this picture? And so I'm sure the conspiracy theorists are going to have a heyday with these pictures. And, but anyway, if you ever wondered what the backside of the moon looked like, they've got a video of it too. So the Grail mission has snapped the far side of the moon. And many will ask why we don't see the backside of the moon. Well, the moon is tidally locked with Earth. And it only presents one side of the planet's surface, the near side. And only robotic spacecraft and Apollo astronauts who have orbited the moon have seen the far side directly. So, of course, there was a movie made at the far side of the moon, right, where they found aliens or something like that. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes. You'll be able to see the pass, for better words. Okay, The folks at SpaceX have tried out their new Super Draco rocket engine, and they had a successful firing of it. So this is one step further for the SpaceX folks to have a successful commercial launch. And this is pretty good stuff here. Link will be up in the show notes on that. More information about SpaceX and some of the stuff that they're doing. Won't be too long, and they're going to be sending a probe to the International, or actually a capsule to the International Space Station. Now, here's a weird question that was asked, and scientists have been asking. Actually, BBC recently asked physicist and Cambridge University professor Dave Ansell to drop a balance sheet of the Earth's mass. And they wanted to know, is the Earth gaining weight or losing weight? I thought, huh? Gaining weight or losing weight? That's okay. Let's think about that for a second. He says, in his reply to the BBC, he says the biggest contributor to the world's mass is 40,000 tons of dust that is falling from space to Earth every year. And I think I get about 25 pounds of that here in my house. He says the Earth is acting like a giant vacuum cleaner powered by gravity in space, pulling in particles of dust. He says another factor increasing Earth mass is, of course, global warming, which adds about 160 tons a year because as the temperature of Earth goes up, energy is added to the system so that the mass also must go up. He says on the minus side, at the very center of Earth, within the inner core, there exists, of course, the sphere of uranium 5 miles in diameter, which acts as a natural nuclear reactor. So he says, so those nuclear reactions cause a loss of mass of about 16 tons per year. Huh. Okay. What about the stuff we launch into space? And then they go on to say that one of the biggest factors in really Earth weight loss is 95,000 tons of hydrogen that escape from the atmosphere every year. So what is the balance? He says the Earth is getting about 50,000 tons lighter a year, which is just less than half the gross weight of what? The Costa Concordia. What is that? The Italian cruise liner that recently ran aground. So about cut that liner in half, and that's about how much weight the Earth loses every year. I don't think we have to worry about the Earth losing too much weight, do we? All right, how many of you IT folks out there have certifications that you worked really hard for that really don't pay a lot anymore? Well, folks over at InfoWorld have a 3-page article here about what certs are making money and which certs are basically, you might as well shred them. And I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right. Of course, Facebook, big news yesterday was Facebook has announced their IPO, and there's expectations that the IPO may create as many as 1,000 millionaires. But I read an interesting article over on CNET from Molly Wood. She always seems to write on Windows specifically. But she says, Facebook just filed to go public after a long, tense wait. And so it seems like a good time to remind to everyone who's not in tech and to finance just to forget it's even happening. Huh? It says Facebook's IPO will make some bankers, some venture capitalists, some privileged early investors, and some early employees rich. Everyone else should steer clear. Okay. How many of you would still like to get some Facebook stock? I'm not a big stock buyer, but I'm thinking that some Facebook stock is going to be worth some money. They're not slowing down in growth. People are still using them. They had 1 in 5 page views on the web last month. So, I don't know. I think that Facebook's doing pretty good. I think it'd be a pretty safe bet. How many wish you would have bought Apple 8 years ago? Or better yet, many would like to have bought Apple on their initial public offering? I guarantee if you bought enough of that stock, you wouldn't be working today. I don't know. It's interesting advice. So, maybe someone in finance, someone that is a certified investor, which I am not, can tell me why I shouldn't buy Facebook stock when it's available. First of all, good luck getting it. That's going to be the challenge. You're not going to get the Facebook stock. It's going to go to all institutionalized investors initially. I think that is probably our, you know, the biggest scam there is in the whole country. The average Joe is not going to be involved in getting and being have access to any of that stock. Hey, folks, I want to thank GoToMyPC, longtime sponsor here, Citrix, longtime sponsor here at the show. And one thing I love about GoToMyPC is their iPhone app. You know, it doesn't matter if you're on the beach, in your car on the way home, or wherever you may be, you can check your iPhone or your Android for that matter and see an urgent request and fix something on your PC back at work or back at the home office. And, you know, you don't need hassle going back. You can do it right there on the spot. And with Citrix GoToMyPC app for the iPhone, it's like having your work computer really right in your pocket. You can take care of last minute requests from anywhere. And with the GoToMyPC app for iPhone, you can edit PowerPoints, update spreadsheets, work on any file. And you can also log on to your Mac or PC with the GoToMyPC app for iPad as well. So I've had access to my work computer right from my iPhone and iPad. And I want you to be able to have that option as well. So all you got to do is try GoToMyPC today. This is a special 30-day free trial just for you guys that are listening to the show. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code podcast. Download the free app to your iPad, your iPhone, or your Android device. Again, that's GoToMyPC.com. Try it free and use the promo code podcast. Thanks for GoToMyPC for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. And now back to the content. All right, NASA has released a new picture of the second blue marble Earth photo, and also a video of the moon, which I talked about a few minutes ago. But I want to see this thing in high res. I want to put these on my desktop. But definitely check this out. And this shows shows Africa, shows the Middle East, and what else? What's in there? Part of India you can see as well. And I don't think you can see a little bit of, it's mostly a northern hemisphere. Yeah, you can see across the equator too. Link will be up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. All right. Okay, next thing up, I've got AOL, Huffington Post, is going to be launching a streaming network. I find this a little bit curious and also intriguing in that they are going to come online with 12 hours a day on weekdays, expanding to 16 hours a day next year. So that's, you know, that's a big undertaking to have 12 hours of live content every weekday. And so they can run 12 hours with regular content. They go 12 hours on reruns, but they're going to have a live streaming network available 12 hours a day. And we know other digital medias have turned to live video, and Wall Street Journal launched its first live online program in 2008. But here we go. But we'll see what the Huffington Post does. I'm not a big fan of Arianna Huffington. You guys know that. I'm also not a fan of some of their blogs. But at the same point, we will see where they go with this streaming business and how well they do. But keep you advised on that. But broadcast news and social media is going to be on HuffPost 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Folks over at CNET are saying it's time to stop calling Windows Phone 7 WP7. Said that what's going to happen when the Windows Phone 8 is out? Well, it's pretty easy. Let's just call it Windows Phone. Okay? Makes sense to me. You got the iPhone, you got the Android. So let's just call it the Windows Phone. That's pretty simple. It's always been awkward for me to say Windows Phone 7 anyway. It's like saying, you know, talking about an operating system. Let's just call it the Windows Phone version 7, version 8, whatever it may be. The Mega Upload founder is back in court. He's basically saying, hey, the police punched and kicked me. Well, you know, he did barricade himself into a safe room and then had a shotgun with him, threatening to blow his brains out. And probably, long story short, he you know, they were very, anytime you say that kind of stuff and, you know, the police get a little excited. But, or trying to get bail, and he appealed his denial of bail. But apparently he had a bunch of IDs, not with his name on them, in his possession. The judge also is not happy about his illegal firearm that he had with him in his home. So we will see. But the prosecutors are worried that he's going to escape to Germany, where there's no extradition rules to the United States. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. This guy gets bail. I'd give him 48 hours, maybe 72 hours. He'll be on a private jet on the way to Germany. And he'll have access to his Swiss bank accounts. And he'll just do one of these when he gets to Germany. Na, 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 na. If they let this guy to jail, he's gone. He says, hey, I got a family. I got five kids to feed. You know, where am I going to go? I want to fight this. I want access to my money. But yet he had credit cards and passports under different names. And he's gonna run as fast as he can. I want to stay and fight. Whatever. He's scared because he knows that New Zealand's probably going to extradite him to the United States at some point. How many of you think that Kim.com of Mega Upload's going to run? I think, you know, let's be honest. He's probably got a huge stash of cash, you know? He's probably got it buried in the backyard somewhere as well. As crazy as this guy was, you know, I almost guarantee you he's a flight risk. I think they're smart in keeping him locked up. If they want to keep him locked up, I'd like to see him get out on bail just to watch the antics. We'd have a lot to talk about here. If he did make a mad dash for Germany. See, that's quite a long flight. New Zealand to Germany. Can he get a direct flight? You know, what would you have to rent? A 777 or a 747? That's pretty obvious. I don't think you could get there with a Lear. But if you rented something in New Zealand, if you got a flight out of New Zealand, you could probably make it to, let's see, which way would you go? I don't know. I have no clue on this type of stuff. But I'm sure he would make a mad dash to Germany. And I guess it's probably not that long of a flight if you think about it. Go through the Middle East to get into Germany, go that way, instead of going, you don't want to go across the United States or even get close to it for sure. All right, let's move on here. The EFF says they're ready to sue if innocent victims can't get Mega Upload data back. So the Electronic Frontier Foundation officially asked all parties involved in Mega Upload criminal case to refrain from deleting any data stored on servers once leased by file hosting service, and it suggests it was willing to sue over the matter. They sent a letter to the Eastern Virginia U.S. Attorney's Office and to lawyers for Mega Upload, and we'll see. I don't think that the government's going to oblige. Time will tell. But a lot of people have real, you know, legitimate files on that service. But what's going to happen is the Fed's going to go through each account and then go after each user. That's what I'm waiting to see happen. All right, Japan companies are in big, big, big trouble. My wife has been watching some excerpts on the net about news in Japan. The economy is just, oh my goodness. And Japan is suffering from the supply chain being basically beat up because the value of the yen against the dollar. I mean, if you're Japanese, it's a great time to come to the United States on vacation because the yen is so strong right now. But, you know, it's making everything very much more expensive for us here in the United States. So Toshiba Corp said yesterday he's going to cut 1,300 jobs. Auto windshield maker Nippon Sheet Glass Company, which sells to Mazda Motor Corp, said it's going to cut 3,500. The NEC Corp, a Japanese maker of telecom equipment and components, which said last month it would eliminate 10,000 positions. Of course, this is largely due to the yen's 7% surge against the dollar in the past 12 months and has widened losses for both Sony, Mazda, and Sharp Group. Of course, the earthquake did not help, and they're about ready to, you know, this is not good. What's going on in Japan. This is a huge catastrophe. And, you know, the Japanese are very, you know, they've suffered a long time from a very, really piss poor economy. I mean, they haven't, this is going on 10, 12, well, the economy really went to pieces before my wife and I got married, and her and I have been married now 16 years. And so this is just bad. And it doesn't bode well for the rest of the economies of the world. But definitely, if you want to travel from Japan, you got the cash, it's definitely the time to do it. Changing gears here a little bit. Apple's now the third largest mobile phone vendor, is featured as a feature phone. Phones fade. Worldwide mobile phone market share right now shows Nokia with 30.7. That's amazing that they still have that many phones. Of course, these are probably, non-smartphones largely, but Nokia 30.7, Samsung 22.8, Apple 8.7, LG 4.1, ZTE 4.0, and other manufacturers 33.8. So Apple's now, according to the mobile phone industry, is third. Oh, it is in mobile smartphone dominance. So interesting topic there. Interesting number. You know, it definitely United States, I think Nokia has, what, no share? And Apple and Android are beating it, really are leading the pack. All right. If you got a domain seized today, obviously you know about it already, but the Feds seized 307 sports-related domains in advance of Super Bowl. They said that they went after 16 allegedly engaged in authorized live sports streaming, and the remainder of the 307 were accused of selling fake pro sports merchandise, including National Football League paraphernalia. The seizure obviously is one of the biggest to date under the Immigration and Customs Enforcement's crackdown, known as Operation Our Sites, bringing to total more than 650 domains shuttered since the program began in June of 2007. The latest feature, which began in October, was announced days ahead of Super Bowl Sunday, when, the New England Patriots play the New York Giants. So some of the sites sold fake jerseys, caps, shirts, jackets. The government said it had seized $4.8 million worth of fake NFL goods, up from $3.72 million a year ago. So what they're doing is they're taking .com, .org, and .net domains under the same seizure law the government invokes to seize brick-and-mortar drug houses, bank accounts, and other property tied to alleged illegal activity. So this is pretty amazing. And the Immigration Customs Enforcement leaves behind a message, and that message, it says, has gotten over 77 million views since they started the program. But, wow. So a lot of people will be going to jail, obviously, here. As they start rounding up people as well. A 28-year man from Comstock Park, Michigan, was arrested and charged with criminal copyright infringement. He is the alleged operator of 9 of the 16 streaming-related domains that were seized a few hours ago. So these were sites that basically were, if you were overseas, probably you were getting access to National Football. One was First Row TV, ZoneSports.tv, First Row Sports.tv, sports95.net.com, uwe.net, uwe.com. And so anyway, he's in jail, but probably not. NFL restreaming NFL broadcasts, probably not a smart thing to do, as much money as they make. Kindle owners Kindle Fire owners are starting to report on their happiness with the devices. ChangeWay Research said in a sampling, and very satisfied customers were 59%, or more, slightly more than half reported being very satisfied at 59%. And they said the $199 price of the Kindle was what they liked the best about it. So some good survey results and some good reviews for the folks over at Amazon. Well, Time Warner, of course, and Cablevision, which have been basically providing apps so that you can watch TV on your devices, basically the live anywhere. Of course, live anywhere, so long as it's your home. They're basically updating their apps. So if you've been downloading those and keeping up, basically using it, you'll be able to update it, okay? Boy, what am I talking about? Netflix versus Amazon or on live? Netflix has basically, of course, had a great quarter, had a great comeback, but there is some competition out there. Amazon is reportedly rethinking their Prime Instant offering, currently bundled with a shipping discount program at $79 a year, and is something more directly competing with Netflix. Basically, what they've said is that, that they're weighing a move to beef up the web's retailer video streaming service, possibly carving it out as a standalone subscription-based operation. So maybe it's time to get Prime before they make a change and maybe get grandfathered in. But Amazon doesn't feel that Netflix $7.99 a month plans are sustainable as a content licensing fee that continue to increase. So we'll see here. But you know, what are you guys using right now? Using Netflix or Amazon? What are you guys using as your streaming service? Are you having Apple TV? Yeah, I think it's time to hack it. You know, there's a great article here on thatsnotfunny.com talking about how to hack your Apple TV. And it's there's an app out there called Season Pass. And basically download the program to your Mac or Windows. And the wizard will walk you through the process as it creates appropriate software package and loads it onto your Apple TV. And this is pretty cool. And it really makes available all kinds of new features that you don't have currently with your Apple TV. So definitely check this out. I have a link up in the show notes on it. And let me know if you've hacked your Apple TV. And $99, who cares, right? You can. That's one of those things where... if you don't like what you've hacked and you can't get it back, you go buy another one. Over on Boxy's basically pulled the plug on their PC client. So that no longer, if you don't have it already, it's not available. So they say, we believe the future TV will be driven by devices such as the Boxy Box, Blu-rays, and second screen devices such as tablets and phones, where there'll be still many users who have computers connected to their TVs. We believe this use case is likely to decline as users find better alternatives. And you guys are proof. You guys are watching this show and lots of other video shows on Boxy, on Roku, on Samsung, on Google TV. But I'm sure many of you are going to be upset about this decision to cease supporting PCs. And I'm sure there's going to be lots of hacks out there for a long time and how to get it on your PC. Basically, there's one of the challenges in streaming is the encoding and getting, you know, if you can have a better codec to encode a video stream, it lowers the amount of bandwidth needed. So a new video encoding startup called IIO has left stealth mode with the announcement that it's licensed its technology to Netflix. And their CEO says, hey, we found some secret sauce here to basically have up to 50% bandwidth savings. Now, that's huge. Huge. Considering the standard def Netflix stream can consume 2.2 megs per second of bandwidth. If you can have a new encoding codec that reduces that to 1.1 or a 4.8 1080p down to 2.4, that changes the game on everything. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. But I'm excited to definitely check out IIO, not only just for what I do, but for what we do at Raw Voice. I was talking today with a well-connected person in a company in Seattle. And we were talking about where things are going to be going for devices like Apple TV, Google TV, and what's going to happen. And we really were digging around and trying to look at statistical trends on how you guys are consuming media right now. And that's one of the things I want you guys to provide me feedback with, because there's a great article on GigaOm, how analysts are talking about possible routes for the future of Apple TV. And I firmly believe, and this is my hypothesis, is that when you are in a device such as the Apple TV, Roku, or Boxy, you load Netflix to find movies. You use You load the tech podcast channel to find tech shows. You load the other channels to get different content. So whereas we've all been programmed to press a remote control on our TV to get different shows that we want to watch, and we don't really pay attention anymore if it's on NBC, Fox, TNC, wherever it may be. We just know a show name, right? We're looking for a show name. My contention is that because of the app experience on mobile devices and on iPads and everything else, that the way we go after channels and the way we look for shows and look for content is going to be more of a network type of thing, where you're going to network play to get in and find my show on Tech Podcast or another show on Blueberry. So where do you guys think this is headed? Where do you guys think, how is it going to shake out? And how could your experience be better as a consumer of content on these devices? You know, how are you finding content? How are you discovering stuff? Are you searching for it and favoriting it and then coming back and watching it later? You know, how are you guys doing that? He was telling me about the TiVo experience that he has, and I was like, whoa, because he can favorite a traditional television show and he can favorite my show. And later on, when I do a new show, it shows up in the TiVo just like a new episode would of his favorite television show. I thought that was pretty cool. So there's lots of work to be done in this space, but I'm just wondering how you guys are now currently using the set-top boxes and so forth to consume content, and how your mix is of mobile devices and basically web browsers as well. Love to hear your feedback. 619-342-7365 is the number to call in, or you can obviously email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. All right, last couple of articles. Google TV goes to Android 3.2. And so this has been a rollout. So if you've got a Sony Google TV, definitely hit the update button. Don't know if it's when it's going to come to the Logitech device, hopefully in a couple of weeks. Skype has rolled out updates for Windows with full HD video calling, group screen sharing as well. So if you make sure you update the version software version 5.8. And this is big. Includes full HD video calling. And if you have a webcam and the internet connection to support it, you can now do that. And also, there's a cool feature on Netflix to get alerted when new titles are. So it's you can use some features within Netflix, or you can use some third-party service like Instawatcher.com as well. So I have a link up to these tips in the show notes. All right, what have I got here in my stack? Let's look at the time. We're doing okay on time. And got a couple of emails. And let me open that up. And I got an email here from MS Small Biz. He says, hey, Todd, the millions waste. Oh, he's first of all, on the 27th of January, he sent me a link to a governmentliquidation.com. And they're having a lot of stuff coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan is basically going on sales in the military DRMO system. So what happens is, in how the DRMO system works is when, and generally they get mostly junk, junk computers, junk chairs, junk tables. When I was in the Navy, we used to, you know, you can absolutely believe when stuff goes to DRMO, and basically gets to be sold as scrap, majority of the stuff is absolutely wore out. We would send chairs that would, you know, be leaning and tables that would been used for 25 years. And there's not budget to replace chairs in matter of fact, you know, I remember having a chair for like in one place I worked for like 10 years. We didn't get new chairs. It just didn't happen. But what has happened after 9/11, all this stuff was sent to Iraq, right? All these shipping boxes, containers, you just name it. Everything that was sent over there was to support the troops. So it's been operating in this high dust, nasty environment. Many times some of the stuff was sent just as a one-time use, sending a shipping container with something in it, ammo boxes, you name it. But since things have drawn down in Iraq, a lot of this stuff is coming back to the United States, and government is liquidating it. They don't need all this stuff. So he sent me a link to these shipping boxes that were probably about $300-$400 a piece. And you can buy it as a lot. You know, you can buy 150 of them and the starting bid's like $150. So you're getting stuff on pennies on the dollar. So if you're looking to maybe find some deals and to bid on some stuff, you're going to want to go over to govliquidation.com. They have auction sites. They have auctions running all the time, all across the United States. You would be amazed at what you're going to find. You will be amazed. Actually, I kind of had disregarded. I hadn't been looking at any of these sites in a long time. And a lot of stuff's coming back to Hawaii. So I'm starting to put some bids in on some stuff because there's money to be made. If you can buy a lot of stuff, a lot, you know, you buy 150 units, you got a place to store it, you got the money to pay for it, you can then, you know, onesie twos them out on eBay and, you know, make some money on it. So there's risk involved and you have to be close to this place because you definitely want to go in and check some of this stuff out. Or you can have it shipped to you if you're willing to buy it on the pictures they put on the internet. But govliquidation.com. Basically, go buy this stuff and get some value out of your taxpayer dollars. Got an email here from also that says from MS Small Biz says, hey, trying to only send you a few stories a week for a recent show. This is pretty good or scary depending on how you look at it. And let me load this up. This is an article over at deepjournal.com talking about, and I'm waiting for this to load. It's talking, oh. And I got some email from other folks about this as well. Basically, if you encrypt data you put on the internet, you could be flagged as someone doing suspicious stuff on the internet. So be well aware of that. I have the link up in the show notes. Got an email here from my buddy Ron. He said, hey, Todd, State launches website to test internet connection speeds. And this is a site that the state of Hawaii's launched where people can go test their internet speed. You know what? Here's the deal. if you're close to the internet testing place, what's the use in doing the speed test, when you're close? All right. Also, I got an email here from Trucker Tom that's got a, let me put this here. It's got a, he's got a comment for me and I don't have it loaded, but I'm going to save it. We'll get it loaded here. Let me plug in this little cable so we can play this for you. All right. Now, let me get to the right directory. And, all right, podcast, promos. Okay, here we go. And, yes, I want to play this in Winamp. And, by the way, those of you that are over at Geek News Central, had a little problem with my streaming service because we've had... machines reboot in the middle of the night when it's actually replaying the show. But the audio stream is up and running 24/7 at geeknewscentral.com. So definitely check it out. All right, let me go ahead and close this. I don't want you to open up. And let me stop and back you up. All right, let's go ahead and play this audio comment that came from Trucker Tom.
Hey Todd, Tom Wiles here, aka Trucker Tom. Just listening to your latest podcast, you mentioned an article, I guess the entertainment industry had sent a letter basically to Google and maybe some other search engines suggesting that they need to basically censor their search results, that such and such percentage of their links could be illegal links, so-called illegal links. And the thing that comes to my mind is that the entertainment industry in general, and that certainly includes television and Hollywood and maybe even the music industry, it could be argued, for years their content has encouraged moral decay. It's encouraged all kinds of moral decay. And so now that they've destroyed morality, here they come along and they, you know, now they're mad that people are stealing things. Now, come on, you can't have it both ways. You know, either we have a moral society where people automatically kind of do the right thing of their own accord, or, you know, you try to come along after the fact and try to regulate them. But if you've got too, if you've got a society full of thieves, then sorry, you're not going to be able to stop it. The toothpaste can't be put in, back into the tube that way. So, I don't know. It's kind of ridiculous. They need, Hollywood, if they really want to solve the problem, or the music business, if they really want to solve the problem, clean up your content. Anyhow, hope you have a great week. Hope your voice gets better. We'll talk to you later.
You know, Tom, the voice is getting better. Thanks for
Hey, Todd, Tom Wiles, Siri.
Whoops, that was on replay. Thanks for the call. And, you know, it's an interesting dilemma. You know, I think we all like action-packed movies, and, you know, I think we've become quite accustomed to it. But, you know, if you, you know, the genie's out of the bottle, you're not going to go backwards on the type of content that's out there. I think the music and the movie business, they're going to have to adopt. There's no choice. Otherwise they're going to, you know, they're going to have bigger troubles than what they already have. Time will tell where they go on this. Interesting comment. Thanks for calling in and commenting on an article in the show. I definitely appreciate it. Of course, Trucker Tom, the Trucker Tom podcast. You can do a search for it on Google. Got an email from Bruce. He says, "Hey Todd, I wonder what's happening with regards to the Plank subscription discussed last year. I know CES has taken some focus, but wondered where we are at. As previously stated by myself and others willing to participate, the cash is waiting. Either that or shelve the Plank idea, pun intended. Keep up the good works. Regards, Bruce." You know, Bruce, I've really, in order to do that right, and, you know, we really looked at the Planks. It just wasn't cost effective to do here. And I'm really weighing my options on that. And at the time, it sounded like a good idea. Time will tell. We're going to have to relook at that and a couple of other programs going on here at Geek News Central as well. But I appreciate you sending in a comment. And we'll definitely make some moves here in the near future on the Plank, the Insider Program, and some other stuff going on as well. All right, folks, that's it for content tonight. I want to thank you all for hanging out with me. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. And if you have comments, again, we want to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. Twitter me at Geek News. Follow me on Google+. We're on Facebook and just about everywhere else. And where you're at, we're at. If we're not there, let us know because we'll go there. But definitely thank you for your support. Thank you for supporting our sponsors. And everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.